trying to dilute it.
Mm-hmm. A little bit, yeah. It was strong, man.
It was really strong. Like, too strong for me. Like, Russian strong.
Good evening, everybody, and joining us for another Big Gay Date is my friend Carl Skeens.
Hello.
I'm Dave Mosley, and tonight we are watching the 2000 and... Ooh. I don't know when this is.
It is an Edgar Wright movie, though, right?
It is an Edgar Wright movie. I mean, it's after A Show on the Dead, so 2007, 2008?
Give or take.
Yeah, the action... action blockbuster set in the English countryside. This is Hot Fuzz.
Weird place to set an amazing action movie like this.
That's the gag.
Yeah.
You know? It works so well. That's what their whole Cornetto trilogy is taking these genres of movies and all the conventions of them and making it very British.
It was totally 2007. You were correct.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, and honestly, this whole movie, this whole comedy only works because it really is a very well-done action movie.
Yes, it's there's a lot of movies that go for like the straight-up spoof, but they're actually... They're way more spoof than what they're actually trying to spoof. Like, this one is really playing it quite seriously.
It's actually a good mystery.
Yeah, it's got a great twist. You know, lots of guessing throughout the story. Real intrigue. It's not just an action movie. It's also got that, I don't know, almost like a Murder, She Wrote or Miss Marple kind of thing to it as well. When you get the reveal at the end, it's so well done. Everything in this movie is... leading up to
for
something else.
For the greater good.
Yeah, it's all going to have a big payoff at the end. But also, yeah, some really fun action scenes in it. And not like... It's funny, but it's funny in a knowing way, you know, in a very self-referential way, but it's not like, you know, like slapstick comedy or anything. None of Edgar Wright's stuff is. It's very smart comedy.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen Baby Driver yet?
I have not.
Supposed to be amazing.
I have heard. And I feel like he was really kind of cutting his teeth. He was trying to make that like a good 10 years ago, which would have been right around this time. So I feel like maybe he kind of cut his teeth doing the car scenes in this, you know, with like there's a car chase at the end with the swan and everything. Like, I want to see how much, you know, how much of that style is shown in that movie, because I've heard fantastic things about it. It's his... what has he done since he did after this? He did Scott Pilgrim came after this, and then we had The World's End, which is the last Cornetto trilogy, which was the sci-fi invasion of the body snatchers thing set in England town. And then he was doing Ant-Man, and that all kind of fell apart. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
I like how even at the Cornetto trilogy movies, each one is more extravagant than the last, just as far as like the kind of like big extravagant movie that it is.
He's always He's showing off new things every time. Yeah. Because Shaun of the Dead we watched, and that is a lot of fun. But definitely Hot Fuzz is a better movie, I think.
Of course. Now, what about the third one?
I go back and forth on it, because I think by the end of this, I'm going to say that this is my favorite still. But I do have very fond memories as a kid of going around and doing a pub crawl in the town I grew up in. And so watching a movie like that, like The World's End... that also throws in that whole invasion of the body snatchers thing is, again, it's just, it's a really clever mashup, and it's done with such skillful
style
direction
and
style. Yeah. I've really got to appreciate it. I'm looking forward to Baby Driver. It's out now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cause yeah, everyone I've seen, I mean, apparently it's not getting great reviews, but everyone who I know has seen it has raved about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a nice little start where everybody, we're kind of getting more and more famous in terms of like British comedians at this point.
Are they literally just trying to fit in as many of their buddies as they possibly
Absolutely,
can?
Yeah. That's
Why not?
That's what Edgar Wright does. Yeah. I think this was, so this is pre-Hobbit and pre-Sherlock as well. So Martin Freeman was really only known for The Office in the UK, and maybe Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Coogan is way more famous than him in the UK, I know. Probably way more famous at this point, at least, over here.
Yeah.
And then we go to Bill
Well,
Nighy.
I mean, Chris Pratt was fat on Parks and Rec, and now he's
Yeah. He's doing all right for himself, isn't he?
Yeah, shit changes, man. He lived in a van.
Yeah.
Bill, how do you say his name? Nye?
I like to say Bill Nye, because if I say Bill Nye,
yeah,
everyone thinks I'm thinking of the science guy, and it gets confusing. Mm-hmm. But like, I wonder, the guy who danced naked in Love Actually. And he's a great one to just kind of lay the truth out for him. Like, mm-hmm. You're making the rest of us look bad.
At least he's honest.
Yeah.
You know, this movie is the reason that basically until me and my lady lived together,
mm-hmm.
I had a Japanese peace lily.
Okay.
Everywhere I moved. And then I moved into her apartment and had no room for my plants. But I always had a Japanese peace lily ever since I saw this movie, because I thought it was the funniest shit in the world. And here, they don't call them Japanese peace lilies. They call them something else. So, I forget what it is, but anytime somebody's like, is that a what? And I'm like, no, it's a Japanese peace lily. And then I look at them like they're stupid.
And they look at Google and they're like, they think you're stupid.
Yeah, basically.
It's like, you just don't get the references.
And then Kate Blanchett here, right?
Just her eyes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we missed the Peter Jackson, right?
We missed the Peter Jackson. They come so thick and fast in this movie, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Yeah, this has got a solid cast.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, it's good to see Timothy Dalton, because I think most people only really know him as James Bond for those few years.
Yeah,
I don't know, like, what else?
Mm-hmm.
What his starring role is, and then Pierce Brosnan's in The World's End as well.
Yeah, they need another Bond for the next time they get together.
I don't know who's in Baby Driver that's been in Bond. Wait, is Daniel Craig in it? No, Daniel Craig I just saw is in...
It's the Coen Brothers movie, right? No. Is it Steven Soderbergh?
Oh, fuck. What is it? There's a trailer that just came out.
Yeah, where they're like committing a heist.
Yeah.
From the dudes that made Ocean's 11, 12, and 13.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
Where he's got this weird southern accent.
Yeah, getting naked in the back of the car. Fuck, I'll remember what it's called. But it's going to take me like more than the length of this movie.
Yeah.
He seems insufferable to be around, you know? Like, he's going to be absolutely right about everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he doesn't sound like he'd be pleasant.
Yeah. So it's nice to see him grow by the end of it and actually have fun.
And look at that drab exterior.
You've been to London, you know it's like that, right?
Yeah, I
you went in, in October, or?
I went when it was cold and dreary as fuck. I now understand why y'all are really good at, like, drinking.
Uh-huh.
Because on days like that, really, that's the only thing to do, man.
Yeah.
I'm stumbling through Leeds, and it's disgusting outside, and it's super quiet, but every time you pass a bar, it's full of people, and it's full of, like, people, like, singing and, like, getting drunk and shit and partying. I get it now.
Mm-hmm. Because what else are you going to do?
Yeah,
man.
You can't
get drugs as easily over there, so.
Yeah, and you don't just want to sit in your house the whole time. However, I did for, like, half a day... sit up in my hotel room and watch British TV.
Wait, British daytime TV? Or? Oh, you poor fucker.
Yeah, bro, it was the funniest shit in the world.
Did you watch Loose Women?
It's
kind of like The View.
No.
They sound even more angry just because of the accent.
Oh, yeah. I did watch the news a lot, too, and they were talking about the refugee camps.
Oh, yeah.
That they were having to, like, close and shit, and mm-hmm. they're, oh, man. Whew. And they were all bitching about the Brexit, but, like, I can't really put my input in because my country is kind of...
Yeah. So this is already there's stuff being telegraphed for the end of the movie. He's staying in the Swan Hotel.
Now you said you grew up in a village quite like this.
Yeah, I mean a small village. I don't know if it's a town now or whatever. No, wait. I don't know. It might be a town because
it doesn't look
now.
Like a storybook like this, right?
No, I mean, it definitely used to.
Okay,
I think I've looked on Google Maps recently, and because it's got more built up, it looks a little different. Mm-hmm. More like big supermarkets and stuff like we see at the end of this thing. But yeah, this little kind of like town square area. This is pretty quintessential British. Like the area I grew up in Dorset, so it's a much more rural area, which is kind of probably another reason why I like this so much. Like, it's any action movie can take place in a big city. It takes like a really, really smart decision to just put that in the middle of nowhere, you know?
Yeah.
And all these guys are just kind of like, you know, completely oblivious to probably what would be going around them if they weren't all in on it by the end, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, you grew up in Verwood, yeah, tiny little town. Tiny little town or village. I'm going to call it a village because there's nothing that went on over there. We didn't have a movie theater. We had like a one supermarket. We had plenty of bars though. So we would always, sort of every couple of weeks or so, we would do a pub crawl from like all four of these pubs, which are our old pubs. Like, you've been to London, you know that some of the bars over there are older than America.
Yeah, yeah, and have been, like, in the family. Mm-hmm. It's the strangest thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm not
bars,
used to that.
Yeah, most of the bars are just big houses that were converted to pubs, like, you know, 100 years ago or something. So whoever owns them lives upstairs and shit.
Mm-hmm. All those crooked staircases and shit. And never seen so many basements in my life. The greater good. See, anytime you hear the word, anytime you hear anybody say the greater good, I always repeat, the greater good. And then there's always like one person that chuckles.
Right. The cool person in the club.
Yeah, yeah. That you're like, oh, okay, you're the one I talk to.
Yeah. And that's our group right there.
Peace. It's such a good like sequence to establish its character.
Mm-hmm. Bill Bailey. Do you know who Bill Bailey is? Is he in anything over here? I'm not too sure he is.
I recognize him from something, but I don't know what.
He's a stand-up comedian in the UK. He was known particularly in his early years like for looking almost like a troll because he had a very long beard and very long hair and he kind of looked like a character out of, a dwarf out of Lord of the Rings or something.
Okay.
He's in Black Books with Dylan Moran.
Okay.
It's a Channel 4 comedy.
I don't think I've seen it. Ooh, Tim Minchin.
Oh yeah.
Oh God, now I forget what show he's doing. There, he is opening a Broadway show.
I thought I saw him at the Tonys this year.
Yeah, he's. I was actually just looking at my playbill from the Darren Brown show, and there's an interview with him about like the writing of the show.
Mm.
It actually looks really good. He was talking about
is it about Groundhog Day?
Yes, it's Groundhog Day the musical.
Right, yeah.
And he was talking about, like, writing it with his, like, signature, like, Tim Minchin, mm-hmm. like, flair and shit. And he was talking about how a lot of lyricists for Broadway shows will just fill the void mm-hmm. with a line. You know, he's like, but I studied Shakespeare. He's like, and when you study Shakespeare, you learn that, like, every single word should matter or it shouldn't be there. Mm. And I'm really interested to see what he does with, because Groundhog Day is a very, it really is, like, when you get down to it, it's actually a really, like, depressing story.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Especially when you hear, like, the original idea where he lives for, like, 1,000 years or something.
Yeah, and Tim Minchin is really good at being sad and, like, self-deprecating.
Poignant, yeah. See, that's how I feel about Edgar Wright and his, when him and Simon Pegg write something, everything has a payoff at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's so kind of just uptight at the beginning of this movie. It feels a little off watching him. It's like he's not a.
Uh-huh.
When you've only seen him in like Spaced and Shaun of the Dead before this, for example, he's very much the same character in those kind of things where he's kind of just a layabout, doesn't really care about anything, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really weird to watch him kind of play this, you know, straight-laced cop that's all business, uh-huh. and he comes off a little. Wooden a little bit here,
yeah,
but it's nice to see him by the end of the movie when he actually is having fun with the guy, you know, watching the action movies and shit, you know.
Yeah,
and this is before the new Star Trek, I think, so this was I think this is the same haircut he has as Scotty. Actually, I'm trying to work out why he looks so different, and it's probably because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not him trying to be serious at all, actually, when you play Scotty. he's clearly having as much fun with that movie as possible. Jim... This is Jim Broadbent, yeah. Did he die recently?
What?
Or did Edgar Woodward die? Edgar Woodward is dead, I know. I think I'm thinking of that guy. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who plays the guy who's watching the security cameras and everything here. He was in the original Wicker Man.
Ooh, yeah. not the overacting Nicolas Cage. The Beast!
Yeah, he's the original guy that gets burnt up and everything.
That looked heavy.
Yeah.
That looked real heavy.
Look how if they censored every word there except cunt. Just in the writing. There he is. Yeah. I think the only guy missing from this movie is like Ian Holm, who'd fit right in this scene. You know, this group of old people that just run this place.
Mm-hmm.
Although if Ian McKellen popped up somewhere.
Yeah. It is really strange that civilians got all these cameras there.
It's because we find out that they take their town very seriously. I love this. This is such a simple gag. And then, but then seeing him again, This is like the one really like unrealistic thing when you see him dead in the catacombs and he's still in that like pose with a scared look on his face. It's like
yeah,
it's like, this is a solid movie, but there is one moment where it has fun with itself, and that's that.
I totally forgot about that. What? I love me some Chunky Monkey. So, some guy hit me up today to buy some, like, first edition magic books from me. But he wanted a... He's like, what does it cost to ship it to Estonia? And I'm like, where the fuck is Estonia? So he sent me his address, and individually I know what all those letters and numbers mean. But together, if I didn't have like the option of technology in my pocket to copy that whole thing and just paste it into Google Maps, I would have had no idea what the fuck I was even looking at. And then like I did the math, and I'm like, bro, it's gonna sit in customs, and just straight out the gate, it's going to cost you $94 in shipping minimum if you want these heavy ass hardcover books. And God, man,
are you getting paid like PayPal or something? Or
yeah.
Goods and services or friends and family for that sort of shit? Because if I'm always wary about shipping expensive stuff like that overseas, because you have no way of tracking it at a certain point, and they can very, very clearly say, never got it.
Yeah.
Get my money back.
Yeah.
So I would steer clear. Not that everybody from Estonia is bad, but it takes is one person to scam you out of all of your books and you're fucked.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got no shortage of people wanting to hit you up for them over here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like, I've fucking fielded two since I got to your house.
Are you hustling?
Hustling, bro, yeah.
I'm just sat here drinking.
I just don't need all that stuff, man. I've got so much shit in a really big storage unit, and I'm sitting on like bookcases and bookcases and bookcases of books that I've already read and already have the info and I've already written down notes on. I got no reason to just have that much stuff.
That's fair.
And books are heavy.
Yes.
Books are so heavy.
Yeah, I've been bringing... I mean, yeah, you see that stack of comic books over there? Pretty much all of them are from the UK. And I've had my dad bring them over in, like, you know,
tiny little
installments, yeah.
Yep.
Because it will shoot your weight limit to hell very quickly.
Yeah. Oh man, we're getting our first death, right? Soon.
The next day. A little bit. The first death is the play.
During the play or the people in the car?
After the play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're not in the car. You know, that's a setup. Yeah, the Romeo and Juliet play. I really love the design. And even though it's like super simple, I really like the design of the killer, the murderer. You know, it looks almost like the Grim Reaper. It's just very clever how they like, you can never see the face. It's always obscured by the hood and everything. It's just a really cool little design. I liked it a lot. Although I don't know if there's anything scarier than a bunch of like 12 old white people sitting around in a room discussing what to do and shit.
Whew. They sit at that ominous round table.
They all have their walkie-talkies out in front of them and shit.
Just dropping contracts on, like, citizens.
Yeah. It's such a good setup because, like, these are the things they're sitting around arguing about, and you don't think that they're going to be... they're going to, like, actually go to murder for all this stuff.
Yeah. The living statue. God.
Like, this is the biggest problem they have? Wow, these guys couldn't possibly...
Yeah.
Yes. What's your favorite scene in this movie?
Maybe when the molding off of the cathedral falls on Tim Messenger's head.
And kill that, yeah, slats that guy.
Uh-huh.
That's a really difficult stunt, apparently.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like, well, not the thing hitting his head. That's obviously computer generated. What the most dangerous stunt in the movie was actually the scene where he falls to his knees and flat on the ground.
Uh-huh.
Because of the weight of that thing and the shape of it was very, very easy for them to just, like, break a guy's neck as he hits the floor.
Wow.
So actually, the most dangerous stunt in the whole movie was that simple, like, flop to the ground that he does in that.
Mm-hmm. Never would have thought about that.
No, it's such a simple thing when you think about a movie full of car chases and explosions and jumps and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the...
And at one point, does somebody get shot in the head and their head blows up in this?
No. No one actually dies apart from being murdered. Apart from being murdered. No one gets shot in the head, no.
But everything else that he like mentions about, like, shooting up in the air...
Pretty
shooting
much,
while you're
yeah.
jumping, all that shit happens.
Absolutely. And all of his, all of Andy's, no, wait, no, what's his fucking name? I missed his name. Fuck, what is it now? All of Nick Frost's character's ideas as to what is actually happening while Angel comes up with this elaborate, over-the-top theory and conspiracy of how everything's tied together, everything that... Nick Frost is suggesting is actually why they killed those people.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, every word is used for a purpose in this script.
I wonder how many, like, ice cream cones he had to eat to shoot this scene.
He is. And that is the mountain from Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, sorry, it's the Hound. No, my bad.
Yeah, yeah, the guy with the fucked up face.
Yeah.
Wow. I never knew that.
Yeah.
Never put that together. Now, who's the martial arts master? The Chuck? Or Greek yogurt, man. I'm not really a fan. It feels like I'm, like, eating, like, sweetened sour cream.
I don't know what my favorite scene is of this movie, honestly. I like every... I just love it as a whole so much.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think if there's one scene that, like, repeatedly cracks me up. I do like the fence gag, the running, recurring fence gag that comes up here as they chase this guy out.
Yeah.
I thought I might have to ponder on this a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Meet the Cop and Can't Be Stopped. Oh, shit.
Oh, there's the Shaun of the Dead DVD just there.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Why not?
Hey, man, rep your shit.
Yeah. That guy.
They clearly do not like street performers.
I love the music as well. So earnest, so serious.
Mm-hmm. What the fuck?
It's that's a gag I wish they hadn't spoiled in the trailers, honestly, because as a fan of the first one, that is that is a great payoff. Like, reward you for watching the first movie.
That's really funny. Not made of eyes.
Did you see this movie in the theater when it came out, or did you just catch it on, like, because I know, well, Shaun of the Dead was a big success here. I don't know how this one did.
I saw this
in though.
The theater. I okay. did not see Shaun of the Dead.
Neither did I. I caught that when it came on DVD, but I feel like that blew up so big, especially even over here for a British film, that when the rest of his stuff came out, he had, like, you know, the push to really make a big impact on the in the theater screens and everything. It's a loud movie.
Very much
I know Edgar Wright said he wanted to make the loudest movie ever.
With this?
With this movie, yeah, when he made it. He was like, because it's a, he just wanted to make the loudest movie possible, which definitely the last 30 minutes of the movie is much, much louder than the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
That because when they start just the fucking the assault on the town.
Got him.
Such a short car chase.
Oh, hello.
I'm finding myself not wanting to talk over this.
No.
I just want to watch the dialogue.
Yeah,
right?
I apologize, but it's
enthralling.
Yeah. It's a very well-written scene. Preposterous.
God.
I forget what it is, but the DVD has the other, whatever the other side is of that.
Ah. Oh.
The DVDs for Edgar Wright stuff are really good special features. They talk about, like, they have video diaries that him and Nick Frost do throughout the whole thing.
I liked the zombie videos from the Shaun of the Dead special features.
You got the funky versions of the soundtrack and everything, where they replace the word fuck with funk for TV. And there's also, there's like a good 30-minute thing that's basically just like they set up a camera in front of their A-frame boards, and it's all, everything they use to work out where the movie is going over like a month, how they write the story. They're going through exactly like, you know, the beat, the every story point, every beat, what the Nicholas Angel thinks is happening the whole time, and that's what is actually happening the whole time.
Yeah.
Which is a really, like, it's one of the reasons why this movie is just tied together so well.
Because,
like I say, everything that's really happening is actually mentioned or discuss, like, we know these guys get killed for being terrible actors, and somebody mentions it. I think it's
this is really horrible.
And you can kind of see the committee in the background not liking that at all. Yeah,
very disapproving.
Yeah. All right, Breitbart, jeez.
I mean, but you portrayed a cadaver. That doesn't even necessarily mean that...
In a small town, you are, like, a celebrity. Mm-hmm. We live in Orlando where everybody has done extra work on something at some point, you know?
Yeah.
We will drive up to Atlanta all the fucking time for, like, a day or two or just to do some extra work.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen to people in these little towns, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my friend Greg was an extra in the remake of Pride and Prejudice.
Cool.
And yeah, for like, that is cool for somebody like, from a tiny little town.
Yeah, that's like the know? Only thing that they've done there.
Yeah,
like productions just don't show up.
Yeah,
it's like when I lived
it's
in
like Keira Knightley waved to us and everything. You're like, no way.
Mm-hmm. It's like when I lived in Myrtle Beach. They were shooting a bunch of shit in Wilmington, like Dawson's Creek,
all right,
and all that stuff. I'm in North Carolina, and people like my sister would skip school and drive up to Wilmington for the day and just extra on that shit. Fucking camera hog, too. There's this one episode of Dawson's Creek where Dawson is walking with, like, Joey and, like, they're talking. It's just one of those long scenes where they're just moseying through, like, the hallway of the high school. And my sister's in this fucking cheerleader outfit walking right behind him. And, you know, like, when you're on a set... If they continue, like, walking down a hallway and there's, like, a T, the extras will walk, like... past them, you know, and then you wait off screen and then you walk back at one point. Well, my sister fucking disappears and then shows back up from the other side of the screen, still walking behind them, and this happens like 3 times. Like the whole time she's just stalking them. It's fucking awesome.
That's funny. She knows like how to get the screen time.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's funny. I just showed you an episode of Extras last week, which is Ricky Gervais being an extra in all these big budget movies and trying to find a way to make his break and everything.
I just watched the Ben Stiller episode. Okay, it was really funny. Cool.
There's a lot of that in that show where he's like, you see, they have these scenes where they you're seeing the movie that they're filming. You see it from like how it would actually appear on a cinema screen, and you can see him like trying to do that shit, like trying to get his face in the shot, and they call cut like just before he enters the scene or something. He's like, oh, the fuck. You can it's always funny to see like there's extras. You remember that there's that extra, I think we talked about it in The Mummy, there's an extra that runs past the screen, but it's completely obscured by like bees and shit, like the locusts.
Yeah.
It's just because it was like so fucking ridiculous and over the top. Stephen Sommers just like, nope, just CGI paintbrush over that shit. And it's immediately obvious as well. Okay, I think I know my favorite scene. I think my favorite scene is where everything kind of comes together and he has the reveal of what is actually happening, and then he gets chased through the catacombs.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is like, all the words that have been said throughout the movie are kind of right, you know, coming back to his head and everything.
It's like the end of a Darren Brown show.
Yeah, or the end of like the first Saw movie when everything fucking fell into place and you're like, oh shit, this has been going on this whole time.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, definitely that's my favorite part.
Okay. He's such a good sleazeball.
Yeah.
I liked him in The Rocketeer, too.
Oh, shit, yeah, okay.
He's Neville Sinclair.
Mm.
And the one dude with the fucked up face, that talks like this. That guy, where is the rocket?
Most times they are as simple as they seem.
Uh-huh.
And that's the name that pops up at the end. That's the name of the kid that is at the town village with them at the end. Have you ever done that? Like, you've taken credit for a really awesome like quote from the right in front of the person that said it to you?
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Just fucking own that shit when there's a bigger crowd, or just delivered it better.
Or like in Ocean's 11 when Brad Pitt interrupts him and he's like, the dude's like saying something and Brad Pitt's like, no, it's terrible, I have a better idea. And then just repeats the exact same thing.
But because it's coming from Brad Pitt, you're like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do like this scene as well with the old farmer and the bomb.
Oh yeah, the mine.
Like, nah, it's problem smacks. This was like, I was debating between that and this at the end and this scene here.
Oh, it's, is that Filch? And the dude from
Yes, it is.
From the from Game of Thrones too?
Yes, it is, absolutely.
Red Wedding guy?
Yes, I think so. That's him, yeah.
He's so easy to hate. Wow. It's so funny.
Was it not shite? Do a lot of a job.
Stop hitting it. Stop kicking it. Wow. That's so much weapons.
What I think is cool is that Edgar Wright filmed this. I think he grew up in this town he filmed it in.
Oh, that's cool.
So he's like really like when he was writing it, I think it was the place in his head that he was kind of like, as he was writing, like the mapping out the city in his head, he was kind of thinking of his town and everything. So it's cool. Like imagine being able to go back to your hometown and make a big fucking movie like this, you know?
Mm-hmm. Skin paying off in the first one. That's fucked up, man.
We're about to get Nick Frost dropping the C word.
Oh, yay.
I can't wait. I look forward to it every movie. Have you been watching any of Into the Badlands with him this second season?
No, I've only watched the first season.
Mm. Yeah, he's a fucking regular now. Because they shoot it in Ireland or something, which I had no fucking idea about.
Ah.
So they were like, he's like, yeah, you want to spend like 2-3 months filming in Ireland? Fuck yeah, I'll do it. That's a sweet gig. I didn't recognize him because he's basically shaved his head and has a big fucking beard. He looks like a fat version of the new Kratos from the new God of War.
Oh yeah,
you know, like completely unrecognizable from what you think.
Old Kratos, it's playing dad. It's weird. Have you ever done that?
No.
I've done that, and it's hysterical. Also, if you know the little coffee creamer cans,
uh huh.
Okay, if you hide one in your hand but facing down, you do the same thing. You're like, hey, do you see that in my... Here. And then you take a fork and you stab it in. And the white, when the white splashes down, it looks exactly like everyone assumes...
The inside of an eyeball looks like.
Yes. Yeah. It is disgusting. Because
who knows? Who knows, really?
Yeah.
That could be right. And when you see it happen in front of you, you're not going to question it. You'd be like...
Nah, you just get grossed out.
Yeah.
I like doing it at like Disney or whatever. When you're hanging out with somebody that like knows you, you do it, but you make sure like other tourists can see,
mm-hmm.
and then you like ruin some little kid's day, and by default, his parents as well. that was totally a fake stream of pee, right? CGP yeah. Had to be
practical. Like it's really simple, just to rig up a pipe.
Well, I mean, just take a baby ear syringe full of Gatorade, right?
Yeah.
And just leak it.
I just...
Huh.
That fucking guy. Oh no. Maybe some electro.
Netflix and chill.
Wow. Wow.
Been there. How long have you had yours?
I mean, it still is in my parents' house, and it's still alive, because that's where I had to leave it whenever I had to get rid of my plants. And it is, say, 9 years old okay. now. I had two. Now I've only got the one left, but that one is almost a decade old.
Okay. How long do peace lilies live for?
I mean, I would assume as long as you took care of it, really. Yeah. I mean, I didn't know that, like, plants have, like, a life expectancy. I thought you can just kind of keep it alive.
Yes, I know. You can.
Now, to say, if they do, then you are educating me tonight. Yeah, right. It's like, wow, I never knew that.
Yeah, they live for 20 years, but that's only 4 years in peace, lily years.
Yeah. Aw, oh, shit. It's actually a respectable little video collection.
See, I used to have like collections like that back in the UK, but technology just changes so much, you know? Like, I have a huge DVD collection, and then all of a sudden, it's all about Blu-ray. And yeah, I want a better quality version of all those movies. And now you got 4K, so it's just... My collection is all digital now. It's just so much easier to... couldn't carry it around with me at all time, but there is I totally get people who do have, like, you see Tara's got a whole collection right there on the other shelf of all her DVDs that she refuses to give up,
mm-hmm.
because you do want that kind of, it's just something to kind of show off, you know?
Yeah,
it's tangible in there in front of you. Gotta watch John Wick at some point, just seeing Keanu Reeves there. Still haven't seen it, really want to though.
Not even the first one?
Not even the... I completely missed the first one.
Oh, my God.
Completely went under my radar, honestly.
It's really, really good.
I've heard, like, near unanimously good things about it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's sitting right here on my digital collection, like...
And then the second one's good.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing the show.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the movies, there's a you only see one, but it's a hotel that's made specifically for people of his work line of work.
So of course it's a chain.
Yeah, of course you've got to have assassins. Got to have
one
a place
on every nation. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what they're doing the spinoff show on. Mm-hmm. They've said Keanu can do like a cameo, but really the first two movies center around the one hotel. So I would not be surprised if you never touch it. If that was the one Continental they never referred to.
Yeah. Where is that hotel? What country?
Here.
Oh, well, yeah, that'll be tough, you know, for a show to never come into the US.
Yeah, but at least not that. I mean, it's in New York. So oh, okay, I assume so there may be one in LA, you
gotcha.
Know?
Gotcha.
But yeah, you just, I don't think that you would want to do that specific continental, yeah, but there's probably more in this country.
That would make sense. Yeah,
it's heavily implied that
I forget
everywhere.
It's a big continent. So.
Yeah. Although when I was pricing shipping to Estonia today, which is right next door to Russia and across the water from Finland, did not know Finland's taller than our country.
Taller?
Yeah, like, it's skinny, but it's, like,
it's longer than America?
Yeah, it's longer than America is, like, tall.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that. Now you're educating me tonight, sir.
Yeah, I was looking at Google Maps, and I'm like, wait, that looks fucking huge. And then I scrolled over, and I'm like, oh, my God, in comparison, our country's really small with some of these, like, larger, like, European countries.
Well, it's not all about the length, sir. How girthy is Finland?
Yeah, right. Well, also, you don't have to be the largest country in the world to spend obnoxious amount of money on guns and military.
It's not the size of the country, it's how you run it.
Oh, man, wait, did the goose...
Swan.
Did the swan start the fire?
Yeah.
Jim Broadbent. Every time I see him, I just see the chair in Potter. Oh, man.
This is your scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to pour us a couple... Oh, shit, hang on, the glasses are drying. Walk us through what we're drinking.
Okay, today I am drinking Cherry Coke and Jim Beam Fire as my just sipping drink. And for shots, I have brought you Peligroso Tequila Liqueur. It's cinnamon, and I hate tequila, but I'm just grubbing on some cinnamon, so I figured...
So hang on a second, did you bring this? Because we've had this before.
This?
Yeah.
We have?
We had that. I picked some up during the Lord of the Rings. I got two bottles sitting up there. You were going to take the bottles away. Because it's the cinnamon tequila, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I said it sounded like it was forged in the fires of Mount Doom, so...
There you go. Okay.
So we're going to do... So cinnamon tequila... For hot fuzz, we're going to be drinking that. That works.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was going to just go for some Fireball because it's the only thing I can think that was going to work with hot as well. Fireball cinnamon whiskey. Something else I learned from the Hot Fuzz DVD, by the way, the bonus features they do is they're walking around the town while they're filming, is that this is a cathedral, but I think they describe it as a church in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because Sandford is supposed to be a town, and a cathedral is what turns a town into a city.
Okay.
Strictly. So, and a city is obviously, it can look like a real quaint little place, but it's, you know, you want this action movie. This action movie only really works if it's set in a small little place.
So. Yeah. His tiny little cowboy hat kills me. He looks like there should be a little stuffed horse underneath him with two little fake legs dangling off either side. You're a newest addition to the Sanford Police Force.
Man, I remember this not being great last time, this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mistake. I already know. Mistake. What are you drinking tonight?
Fireball cinnamon whiskey.
Okay. What are we drinking for shots? Fireball?
Fireball cinnamon whiskey. Oh, I'm drinking Bud Light, man. Okay. Yeah, man.
Everybody knows everybody else's business.
Yeah, that everyone gets that gag.
Mm-hmm. That's weird.
All right, so what, you want to drink it? After the fall. Uh-huh. After when the blood like spurts up and everything.
Yeah.
I gotta say, this was one of my favorite. This is one of the first movies I picked up, actually, not on Blu-ray, but HD DVD. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
First, like, 1080p, like... Because this movie looks fucking beautiful in high definition with all of the brickwork and everything. Like, if you're a fucking visual file like me and you want to show off a TV, really makes this little town come to life with all the little textures and everything.
Yeah.
This shot in a second where it's falling does not, but normally all of this stationary stuff here looks really good.
Oh.
That would be a really great costume to do for a con, actually.
Yeah. And just stumble around.
Yeah, just walk around completely shit. Cheers, completely drunk. What a shit Spider-Man. On the left there. Oh, why did you do that? Oh. Oh, it burns.
Do they have no standard of quality? Clearly. No matter what I do, man, I always know how to pick them. Oh, that was really bad. For real, I apologize. That was horrible. I'll never do that again.
Yeah, you're not allowed to bring guest liquors anymore.
No.
And what kind of Jim Beam have you got there? Fire?
Uh-huh.
God, man. What was it with you and the hot stuff these last couple weeks?
I don't know. I've lost all sensation.
lost all feeling.
Yeah.
Burning's a sensation. I'm just trying to feel something.
Basically, yeah. If I wasn't going to Lake Eola tomorrow night, I really just planned on eating fire and blowing shit up. That's all I had. But now I get to go shoot guns, because America.
Yeah, you got some fun plans for July 4th. I got no plans aside from maybe throwing a couple burgers on the grill and watching the fireworks at the hotel around the corner from where I work. I guess they do a fantastic show, and we get a great view for New Year's Eve, so I imagine it's going to be fantastic for July 4th as well. And then just playing some poker with some friends. But you got way more stuff planned.
Yeah, but I have to leave at like 9 in the morning.
Yeah.
That shit sucks.
Shooting guns, fireworks at Lake Eola. They're doing downtown fireworks, right? 5 o'clock?
Five o'clock, we're going to Lake Eola. The fireworks aren't at 5.
Right. It's like, what a miscalculation that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know why we're going to Lake Eola at 5, but I'm bringing magic. Homeboy's getting me fucked up. I don't give a shit.
Cool. Is this the same boy who was driving you last week?
No, that's the guy who I went to New York with.
Okay, so I want to hear this story, because I didn't hear... I just heard like the aftermath of it, but I want to know a little bit more, so paint me a word picture, sir.
About what?
About your car accident.
Oh, fuck. Okay. I was having a reasonably positive day. I found a place to live. A really good friend of mine owns a house over near the mall, only like 5 to 10 minutes from like where we are right now.
Okay.
Pool, bunch of like concrete work in the back with like fucking glass bottles like hidden in the concrete and like underlit, so like it feels like you're in Margaritaville every night when you're just like getting wasted in the backyard by the fire pit.
Nice.
And he's like, yeah, bro, he's like, you're like, I was going through some shit, and he's like, you're like my little brother. He's like 40. He's like, you're like my little brother. I got you. Move in. He's like, here's your rent. Told me what my rent was, which he mortgaged his house, so like he's got like 4 more years on that, and my rent payment would basically pay for all the utilities. But he's like, move in here, let's get you situated. He's like, you don't even have to pay me rent until the end of August. And I'm like,
that's really nice.
Yeah, I'm like, that is really, really nice. I never would have asked for any of that, and I couldn't ask for anybody nicer. And so I'm leaving his house after like I'd spent all day there, like talking about the rules, like talking about the setup, seeing my room, making sure everything was cool,
tying up all the ends too.
Yeah. And then I'm driving home, and it had been raining while I was there. Like, we stayed in and like cooked and shit because it was raining outside. And so I'm driving home, and the roads are kind of slick, and I'm coming off of the beeline towards I-4 West, and there's a big overpass that goes above I-4 by like 30 or 40 feet at least. Mm-hmm. To get onto I-4 West towards Disney, towards where I live. And when I was hitting that overpass, there was nobody like around me when it was going down, but the cruiser that I was driving is really top heavy and the tires are really bald. And I started to veer one, like it started to hydroplane one direction. Now, luckily, I paid attention in fucking driving school when they teach you how to like correct that.
Sure.
And so it corrected, and it started going good, but then it started veering the other way.
Right.
And so then I eased off of the gas like entirely at this point, and I'm just trying to fix it, but it goes into this turn. And so I overcorrect, and when I overcorrect, the cruiser immediately fishtails. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'm like above the westbound lanes of I-4.
Highest point.
Yeah,
40
feet up in the air on this overpass in a cruiser that has a high center of gravity and a side rail barrier that is lower than like a Mazda Miata's like side mirrors. And the cruiser slams to the right and... Say the barrier is on the right. The cruiser slams in on the right side. All the windows are open. When it slams, the whole left side of the cruiser lifts up in the air, and I look out the passenger window, and I can see ground.
You can see cars driving past.
Yes,
you.
And the cruiser goes up, and it felt like the longest time in the world, you know?
Yeah.
And then it drops down, and once the car wasn't moving anymore, I immediately got out. I looked at the damage to the car, and I mean, after insurance, still costing me almost $1,000. Car wasn't moving, and then I looked over the railing and saw how close I was to dying, and then I sat there on that dangerous-ass overpass and cried like a little bitch for like 3 minutes, just because I'm like, I almost fucking died, you know? After tow truck and cops, all that shit... had I been going faster, I would have been dead. The fact that I was driving like a grandma is what saved... The fact that, like, I paid attention and immediately, like, eased off that shit...
Yeah.
Saved my ass, because I only hit going, like, 40 miles an hour, which is still more
it's
than
fast.
Enough to kill you.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, it was the scariest thing that's happened to me in years, and, like... Literally, like, it have. They say your, like, life flashes before your eyes. Your life doesn't flash before your eyes. Other people flash before your eyes. You know, like, yo, holy shit. It was absolutely... But honestly, at the end of the day, things can be replaced. People cannot. And $1,000 is a small price to pay to come over here and get drunk and laugh while telling you the story.
Yeah.
You know, like, hospital bills and death is way more expensive, and I don't feel like getting behind the wheel. I rode with my buddy Joe today, and it was
that's what I thought. I haven't seen you drive or heard about you driving for quite a while, so I actually thought somebody else was driving with you, and they were, like, lost control or something.
It was me. I borrowed a car.
From?
My father. he was kind of pissed, but then... When he realized what all happened, he's like, oh, yeah, you could be dead. Never mind.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah,
just fucking pay the $1,000
yeah,
and you're good.
If you call him and say, hey, the car's kind of fucked up because I had an accident, and he's furious, you just call him back. You'd be like, hey, your son's dead. No, but how... Okay, so he's not, but which one would make you more furious, you know?
Yeah,
now
yeah,
you've heard
yeah,
both
yeah.
sides of how it could have gone down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, man. Well, I'm very happy. You're good, obviously.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
I was really sore the next day.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
It could have been a whole lot worse. It should have been a whole lot worse, and instead it hurt my pride and my wallet more than anything else.
Right.
But yeah, that's when it rains, it pours. I'll fucking tell you that. but when you are, I guess when you're, okay, if you're rebuilding a decrepit, shitty old house, doesn't it make more sense to just demolish the whole thing and then build from the ground up? You know, like, I'm looking at this and thinking a bunch of really... life-altering events have happened with me over the last, like, 30 days. And I was really, really bummed out. Really bummed out. And just, like, being super, like, down in the dumps and, like, depressed about it and shit. But really, maybe that is... Maybe everything changing at once is good. If little things change, it's really hard to untangle one event from the next.
Yeah.
Maybe everything changing all at once and a bunch of bullshit happening... will put
it's an incentive to kind of just hit like the big reset button and all at once.
Yeah, yeah. Like I've been worrying about like getting ahead in this like life game of baseball, and maybe I've moved to like a new sport. You know, like maybe I'm no longer in that game anymore, you know, like It feels...
I'm just thinking of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it feels different, man.
It's a really bad analogy because he was great at basketball. And
horrible
at
golf.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm trying not to think about that. I'm trying to think of, like, Messi. Messi's amazing at soccer. Football for you fucking punk asses. But soccer. I would assume that if he jumped into something else, I would just like to think he'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm.
But yeah, it's just
don't happened. Just fucking up and leave town, man.
Like, oh no, absolutely not. No. I got shit to do. I got options here. I'm not even sweating that. It's just now I'm continuing performing and shit. But like my regular life, like mm-hmm. my time as being a regular person, mm-hmm. like the 9-to-5 time, might be a totally different career choice, at least for the next like 6 months to a year.
Uh huh.
Hey, man, as long as I can go on tour for a month and a half, I don't give a fuck. Yeah. But yeah, just the wreck was interesting. It was super inconvenient, but inconvenience is a small price to pay. But honestly, other than that, my day was amazing. Like, I'm still moving in with my buddy. Like,
yeah.
I'm still moving into this amazing house.
Still coming up aces.
Yeah, it's just taking a little bit.
It's like three aces and a joker in there.
yeah.
Still a good hand to have.
Absolutely, man, but every little piece, every little like step towards your end goal is a good direction to be in.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be the snail from that like that math question, the one that like goes up 5 inches every day and then floats like sinks down like 4.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to be that guy. I want to be that snail that like bust out a couple like rails and then is out of that shit in like a day.
I want to be that snail that just like hitches a ride on something going past that's much faster.
Oh yeah.
Such a... this is so good because it's so... As he's explaining it, he's so convinced that he convinces you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even though it is all just circumstantial.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing he's saying is... it's not based on any incorrect information. He's just interpreting it the wrong way because he's looking for something that's not there.
Yeah. He's looking for that one guy.
Yeah. As soon as he starts opening up the idea that it's more people... shit changes. It's been a long time since I was in nearly a wreck, but I had a similar kind of like fishtail experience. Mine was super fucking weird though. I was driving down a motorway in the UK, two lanes, 65 miles an hour, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the car was in front of me, like probably, you know, a couple of car lengths and whatnot, you know, the legal requirement, of course. And the back bumper just fell off the car and just shattered as it hit the road. And I was just like, oh shit. So I kind of like massively like veer to avoid it and then try to correct and get back onto the road because I had to go into like the hard shoulder and shit.
Mm-hmm.
and then tried to get back onto it and ended up doing like a spin. Did a 180 spin. Thankfully the road was dry, otherwise God knows it would have been much worse. But I found myself sat there in the car on the wrong way of a dual carriageway. Watching a truck come like around to come like, you know, still going like 50 miles towards me, and I had like just enough time to like very quickly throw it into first gear and kind of spin around and like try and at least go in the right direction and get out of the way of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary shit.
Man. Mm. It's so scary. But any time you're in a wreck, even when it's just like a tiny little fender bender, like I feel like if you're not shaken up,
it's not like in GTA, man. It's not fun.
How many callbacks is that to Shaun of the Dead so far? A lot.
I don't think that's the callback to Shaun of the Dead. They do that earlier in this movie. The Andes do it to him, I think.
Yeah, but doesn't Nick Frost say that in Shaun of the Dead?
Jog on? I don't think so.
Because I know earlier when he said, "Yeah, Roy."
Yeah. Like,
that was really funny, though. They're such good writers.
Mm. And it's just him and just Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, Edgar Wright is clearly the creative driving force of this because, you know, you saw Paul, right? Mm-hmm. Written by Nick Frost and Simon Pegg. It's not the same.
Well, it's like Andy Nyman and Darren Brown. Darren Brown's the face of the show. Andy Nyman is a driving force behind, like, that creative direction.
Absolutely, yeah.
Edgar just kind of... I feel like Edgar has, like... Simon Pegg is one of those people that he likes to work with more than anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And like,
and he definitely has some, like, good input into it and everything. You've seen the new Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
Star Trek Beyond?
Yeah. The one with the white and black alien chick?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Because Simon Pegg kind of wrote that. Almost like... Oh, with someone else, I think. But, you know, he had a big hand in writing that, so... It's a good film. It's not as clever as any of the Edgar Wright stuff, though. You know, it's definitely... You can tell these movies are really his baby.
Yeah.
He just has a really good partner in Simon Pegg.
Yeah, I... Because, like, when you have, like, a writing partner, I feel like not a topless broad sitting on your bed muse, but... Some people are easier and better and more motivating to write with than others.
Yeah, you know when you're writing, if you're Edgar Wright and you're writing with Simon Pegg, Simon Pegg might not be having as much of an input into the...
But he might help bring out the best in you.
Yeah, and you know that he can take the material you're going to give him and get that result that you're writing for.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've known each other... You know, fucking years now. Was it 99, I think, or 1998 or something for Spaced?
Yeah.
When you spend that much time working with somebody, yeah, you absolutely get what they're...
What they're about.
Where they are, what they're capable of, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, no!
Oh, shit.
Fuck you, Lurch. That's what they call it, the Ian, the swordsmith that we work with out of London. He's tall and lanky and awkward as fuck looking. And also, with all the tattoos, like, I can see how a lot of people would judge that shit and cross the street if he was, like, walking towards you.
Sure.
But, yeah, he's Lurch. Even his, like, stage name is El Lurchio. Like, he's Lurch.
La Lily.
I forgot. He has his peace lily back at the end, right?
I think he gets him a new one, yeah.
Oh, I'm so sad. Bro, I'm all about gardening, man. Don't even know. I'm all about that shit. For reals. I was growing salvia in my... in my flower bush for like a while, and then I went to Disney one day and they have these short plants that have these pretty like red flowers, but they're not like the Christmas poinsettias. They're these like tiny like bright red flowers, maybe like an inch like wide, and they use them all over the Disney parks. Well, they are the non-hallucinogenic like salvia plant. Like, Disney uses salvia plants cosmetically all around the parks.
And what do you use them for?
Well, I do the non-hallucinogenic ones. I do the ones that get you high as shit. I'm not saying you should go out and do that. I'm just saying you can, and they're not going to arrest you.
Could you introduce one to the other? And would Disney know about it if you did?
Probably not. No, like if they probably wouldn't notice. You could probably totally introduce it.
And all the kids are already happy as shit anyway. It's just be the parents that start having a better time.
Oh yeah.
you would just, you couldn't just sprinkle the seeds on. You would have to like securely put that, because those like
surgically, like, you know,
yeah, but because you know how surgically like they take plants out and move them and
shit. Oh yeah. At Disney in particular, yeah.
Yeah, you would want the, you would want to put it so the seeds would get transplanted with the plants and not just lost.
You need an inside man.
Mm-hmm.
Just switch the seeds.
Yeah. Or if you were to go to living with the land.
Okay.
Could you just toss a couple seeds in,
as
like,
you go past, yeah, though.
Uh-huh. And just be like, oh, you have a pumpkin tree? Well, no, you have a marijuana pumpkin tree. Because pumpkins do not deserve to grow on trees. Does that make, does when you like see shit like that, does that even make you the least bit weirded out when you see shit like that sometimes? Because it does mean, like, if I like go to a fair and I see like an eggplant that's like a 100-pound eggplant and they're like trying to like beat the record, I'm like, I don't want to eat that eggplant. I don't want to see what's inside of that eggplant.
Yeah.
You know, like you go to Disney and they have like pumpkin trees and tomato trees and they're like growing like they was oranges.
Like you were apples, yeah. And
you're yeah. Like that's not supposed to happen, man.
It's like, well done. It's very big, but it's not supposed to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Or the grapples, the grape apples. Like,
they grapes the size of apples?
No, but they're apples that taste like grapes.
Oh.
Have you seen the cotton candy grapes?
No.
Bro, they have them at Whole Foods. They just started showing up in a...
Is this new from Wonka Industries or something?
In Publix. No. But they're these big-ass grapes. And then you eat them and... It tastes like cotton candy. No shit. It doesn't... You don't, like, put it in your mouth and you're like, oh, grape. And then 20 seconds later, you're like, cotton candy.
Yeah.
It tastes like you're eating cotton candy flavored grape. I mean, for all I know, they're not, like, splicing any shit. They're really just, like... forcing like a needle full of like flavor steroids into
flavored
every
sugar,
grape,
yeah.
Which is why the grapes are all obnoxiously huge, because they're all just holding in this liquid. But god damn it, if it's not great, man.
Alright.
Cotton candy grapes.
I've never stepped foot in a Whole Foods, so I don't know.
I went to Trader Joe's over in Dr. Phillips the other day, and I got wasted with their wine sample guy, because nobody else is walking up to him, and I'm like, hey, he was like sampling like six, and I'm like, which one's best? And he's like, you can try all of them if you want. And so, like, I had all six, and I'm like, it's really good, but I don't really know which is my favorite. And he's like, here's number one again. And and then, like, there's some other lady making, like, bacon ranch, like, fucking chip dip in the corner. And, man, it was better than going to Sam's Club when they got, like, every sampler on staff working. They would take all my money.
Speaking of bacon, we went to Vine's Grill and Wine Bar yesterday over on Sand Lake for a belated father-in-law's Father's Day thing.
Okay.
And
For Terrace Pops?
Yeah.
Cool.
And my favorite thing about that bar is something I realized like a month or two ago. If you ask for it, they will just bring you out like a cup of bacon. Like, those restaurants bring out like bread as an appetizer. They'll bring out bacon in like almost like a little chalice, you know?
That's really cool.
Yeah. It's a nice little touch.
At the Ocean Air Seafood Room on International Drive over Point Orlando. I don't know if you've been.
Yeah.
I like their pickled herring appetizer they bring out at the beginning of your meal. The fish.
Mm-hmm.
They bring out this tang, where it's like you go to Red Lobster and they have the Cheddar Bay biscuits. Like they bring out this like pickled herring that's really good. It's like three different types of like pickled fish. Yo, I didn't even know I liked pickled fish until I went there, and they brought it to the table, and I look at the girl I'm with, and I'm thinking, okay, if I don't act like I know what the fuck is going on and eat this, I'll look like a douchebag. Then I ate it, and it was amazing. It was so good, man. But, I mean, an entree, two appetizers, and two drinks apiece, and one dessert that we split. We also split the entree. And the appetizers, and I think my bill was like $180.
Yeah, money over at Ocean Air.
Yeah, it is really, really good, but it is not the place I'm going to be hitting once a month.
Yeah.
Because, like, you go there, and you see the menu, and you're like, all right, I'll budget this shit out. But really, if you had the expendable income, I would literally like to try everything on that menu. And it feel, with everybody dressed in white and shit,
It feels like that, like the restaurant the Rocketeer flies around in. With the girl in the giant clamshell.
There is something very Wicker Man about this whole story, actually. You know, a cop sent to investigate this town, and then... Well, he's not sent to investigate it, but, you know, he has wound up doing it.
Uh-huh.
Calling your bluff, sir.
Bro, you've got to be able to beat them. They're all old.
Yeah. They're surprisingly spry for a bunch of old people.
It feels
they?
Like when they turn the corner and their hoods go up, they've all been replaced with the little kids with the spray paint cans.
Well, no, because they're down here. So funny.
How'd they get the RV in the catacombs? It's like an NCIS. How does Gibbs get the boat out of the basement?
Oh, forgot that he died. That's where I want to take my drink.
Cheers.
Oh, that is hot, hot, hot.
Definitely more enjoyable than that fucking shitty tequila, though.
Yeah, whose great idea was that?
Okay, honestly, I was getting the Jim Beam Fire, and then sitting right beside it was that, and I'm like, I picked it up, and I'm like, I really like the bottle. So when you mentioned the bottles, I'm like, that's actually exactly why I got this.
Yeah, we did. You're like fucking magpies. Put something shiny in front of you. Mm-hmm. It's like, how much?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's glass, bro. Once it again, is, yeah. I can put a ping pong ball in it.
You said you were going to do it last time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but now, like, I have one that I throw in my bag. I actually met up the other day to drop off a book a magician friend of mine here in town wanted from me. And he's the guy that was on Fool Us that made the deck of cards from Penn & Teller appear inside of the glass bottle.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And then at the end, he gave it to him.
Uh-huh.
Which, for regular people, putting anything inside of a bottle that doesn't fit in the bottle is impressive.
Yeah.
But for magicians, for years, we've known, oh, those impossible bottles are awesome, but they're like $300 to $600 a piece.
Right.
Because, like, somebody has to hand do that card by card with, like, tweezers and forceps and tools.
Uh-huh.
And you're paying for, like, the man hours.
Right.
So when he gave that away, yeah, normal people, it's impressive.
Uh-huh.
But for Penn & Teller, as magicians, they're the only people that really appreciate, they're like, oh, yeah, this is really cool, and he's literally giving me a really expensive shelf piece that I would have bought anyway and paid full price. It's a fucking great idea.
It's almost like a bribe.
Yeah, and he did not necessarily fool them. But he did do amazing and got a lot of work out of it. And I was talking to him.
Made
I'm
an
like,
impression, yeah.
I'm like, how long after did people contact you only to do that trick? Like, how many people contacted you and like, hey, when you come to your show, can you make sure you do that trick from Fool Us?
Uh-huh.
And he was telling me how, yeah, that people request that because they remember him from the show. But eventually, that bottle thing gets fucking expensive.
Yeah.
And he had to workshop that for 6 months worth of shows before he even went on Fool Us. So, like, he'd already invested all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
And all these people wanted him to do this trick. But he was telling me, he's like, honestly, though, he's like, I stopped doing it very soon after Fool Us. He goes, because, yeah, that's the reputation maker, and that's why they booked me. But as long as I show up and my magic show is awesome, they're not going to remember that I didn't do that trick, nor if they do, are they going to care.
It's very true.
And it's just, it was really interesting that he's like, yeah, they all remember that trick, but
they won't soon.
They'll yeah, really, just do
they'll a, remember this trick.
Just do a good show, and they're not going to care what you do. They like you. They don't like the bottle. Magicians like the bottle. But for real, man, another one of those guys that, like, you sit down and you hear somebody hustling it, like, every day, and it's just really motivating. It was nice. I met over at the some art cafe over in Metro West, never been to before. It was pretty sick. Good coffee, good sandwiches, really good breadsticks. There was, like, books on the wall and shit that you could read, board games to play. And even when I sit down and talk to this magician at this coffee shop, I'm there with another magician, and the guy that dropped me off tonight, that magician, turns around on the board game shelf at this, like, art cafe coffee shop over in Metro West, and like, wine and shit, that I met up with Nathan at, and Joe turns around to the board game shelf beside, like, the books in this coffee shop and sees a Criss Angel deck of playing cards just chilling. And I've never seen, he picked it up and took it out, and I've never seen other magicians non-verbally immediately judge someone so quick. It was really funny.
It was awesome.
Here's our final act. And I love just how we go just completely balls to the wall for the rest of the movie here.
And how long have we already been watching this movie? Because it really doesn't feel like long.
About an hour and a half already.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the last half hour. It has flown by, actually, this one. I'm a big fan of movies that just go completely balls to the wall for the last, you know, the last 15 minutes or the last 30 minutes. Cabin in the Woods, big example.
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Super.
Uh-huh.
You know, something like that. So, like, especially...
Which, holy shit, I got around to watching Super after you told me to watch that, and that was way more... You tried to explain it to me.
It's a tough one to explain.
You did not prepare me for how real that shit gets.
Yeah.
Oh my! When she got shot in the face,
it's such a kick. And when he just goes full on fucking Terminator on the rest of the house.
Yeah. The moment that happens, I'm like,
oh shit! This is a movie that's not afraid to just, like, completely turn your expectations.
Yeah,
on its
totally
head.
Different movie from that point on.
Absolutely.
Like,
those last 10 minutes, like the scene where, you know, yeah, Kevin and Bacon has been he's been shot or something, right? Or he's like,
hey,
I don't
real
know.
Quick, that Romeo and Juliet, when the first lady right before Timothy Dalton looked out, she looked around a Romeo and Juliet poster, and the Romeo and Juliet poster, I'm pretty sure, had the understudies on it.
Two new people already. Yeah. Yeah, of course it did. They got that shit rough prepared. Yeah, man, it's just, Rainn Wilson in that is fucking incredible, I think. Like, when he's screaming at Kevin Bacon.
I had no idea. Yeah, and even the Kevin Bacon thing, man, like, he's such a good actor when it comes to, like, doing a very hateable role.
He's such a sleazeball, yeah.
He's a good bad guy, man. Yeah. I wish he got more... Did you hear they're doing a Tremors reboot with Kevin Bacon?
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
I'd be interested to see where that goes.
I wish he got more play as a... Because for most of Kevin Bacon's career, he wasn't, like, fucking leading man, like, A-list
status.
He was
the guy that connected the movies and shit.
He was,
you know,
always, like, likable. When he was a main character, like, rarely was he a shithead until very recently during the X-Men movies and Super.
Yeah.
I really wish he got more play. He was amazing in Stir...
as well.
Oh, yeah. Stir of Echoes, bro. One of my favorite Kevin Bacon movies.
We should do a Kevin Bacon movie sometime. We haven't done one yet, I don't think.
Oh, man. Can we do a Kevin Bacon movie and then just 6 degrees, like, link... Can
to another
we,
movie?
Starting from here, when we get to our Kevin Bacon movie, can we have to get through it through 6 degrees?
So six movies from now, we'll have to do Kevin Bacon somehow from watching...
Yes.
Let's sit down and plan that shit out. Uh-huh. That would be a lot of fun.
We got a week. We can make that happen.
And then we got 6 weeks to record each one. Uh-huh. So.
We'll get there, Kevin. Somebody still cares.
You're going to have your due. Don't worry.
We care. I watched a TED Talk with Kevin Bacon.
Really?
Recently, where he talked about the 6 degrees thing.
Okay.
And it's actually an older talk.
Uh-huh.
But he has a charity.
Right.
That links celebrities and people with money
uh-huh.
along with charities and organizations that need that money.
Okay.
Because a lot of people have, like, there's a lot of charities in the world. There's a lot of charities in the world. And there's also a lot of people that want to do some good. And so he talks about the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon thing and how at the beginning he was annoyed and kind of pissed. And then over the years, as it actually became like this cultural like thing that you can't get away. Even if you don't know who Kevin Bacon is, you understand the concept of the 6 degrees thing.
Sure.
You know, like,
it's just
yeah,
you just know about it.
And once it became that, he with that almost turned into Chuck Norris with topping Chuck Norris jokes.
Right.
And then he took that 6 degrees thing and actually turned it into
a good cause.
Starting a charity nice. Based on that. And it's actually really, really, really interesting, man.
How does the charity work then? Is it just using it to like raise awareness of this particular charity?
A bunch of charities, actually.
Or is it that you
it's multiple. It is not one specific charity. He is literally linking organizations that need money with people that have money.
This charity works with this charity that works with this charity that works with Kevin Bacon.
It is literally like his organization is the 6 degrees between the money and the people that need it. And it's actually, it's a great idea, man.
That's funny.
And just like to hear him talk about
six
like,
degrees of Kevin making charity bacon.
Yeah, and hearing him talk about the stages over the years of going from like annoyed and pissed to thinking it's really funny to realizing, wait a second, I can actually do something that's kind of cool with it.
Yeah, own it, man.
Yeah.
It's not going away, clearly.
Yeah.
You might as well get on it. And
everybody likes feel-good charity stories. You know, but there are so many fucking charities out there. How do you know? You know, like...
Sure. Mm.
Like, my go-to is, like, art charities and, like, keeping arts in schools and shit.
Uh-huh.
But that's just when I don't feel like putting in any thought and effort, just because allegiances are allegiances.
Right.
I guess. But, like, Pulse happened. I gave money to that.
Sure.
You know, like, when shit in your life happens, you try, but... Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess realistically, it is a feel to feel good about yourself thing, as well as like giving. Like at the end of the day, everybody's a little narcissistic.
Yeah,
it's just to what degree does that influence your life?
Yeah.
You drop your weapon, asshole. See, and the day they were shooting this, this has got to be. Okay, this town looks like it's pretty old, right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, in the UK, I'm sure a lot of these little villages and the little, like, they're not called prairies there, right?
No.
But you know, like, a prairie here in America.
What
do y'all call, like, the open, like, green space in, like, backwoods UK? What do you call, like, all the fields and shit? Like, what is that?
A field.
That unsettled
area. The countryside.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I know, like, in the UK, like, historically, those countrysides have seen some shit. But realistically, none of these people fucking remember that shit.
That's fair. Yeah.
This has got to be, shooting this has got to be the most exciting thing that's happened in that village
ever.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah.
See, I really enjoyed going to London, but I would really like to go back to the UK with a little more time. So that I could go outside of London and see, like...
I can recommend some great little villages if you just want to go and see some quaint pubs and some...
Yeah, go drink in a local's pub and, like, and see some shit that most of the tourists don't just go to first.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like New York, man. The moment I met up with my cousin, because me and homeboy magician that we stayed with works in the financial district.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Dude jumped out of the office directly above his, like, and killed himself. So, like, he makes decent money. So, like, we were going out, and he had no problem going to, like, the Disney price, like, joints that all, that everybody goes to.
Mm-hmm.
But then I meet up with my cousin, and I'm like, where do you go to drink? You know, like, where, who has actual drink specials?
Mm-hmm.
And then she actually, like, brought us to cool, like, super cheap, like, buy one, get two free, like, drink specials.
Right.
Where you show up and they give you the first drink and they give you two little, like, toys.
Uh-huh.
And then you go back and trade in your toy for your next drink.
Right.
And that was awesome, you know? Like, when I go back, because we are going back, they, like, even when we were there, they told us, like, Lock
that shit down.
Yeah, like they were really complimentary of us and telling us like we were the first act that was that actually like worked with them, did a full show, was willing to change things based on where we were to make it more personal. Because everybody else, they're like they're performers that only do one act.
Right.
We're used to having to do like 20 between two guys. So like for the same amount of money, you get a whole lot more value. And they were talking about all that, and we're like, cool, we'll let fucking Ripley's know, you know, and they already told us. They're like, you're going back, but I just want to work out another couple days.
Sure,
because
yeah.
Staying in London, London is awesome, but I want to leave London, bro. God. I even want to go to dirty-ass Brighton Beach.
Tape up your ass crack, man. Because
yeah, only like because of Miramax, not because the city, the town is in any way awesome.
Yeah. It's like off San Francisco, basically. So don't bend down to pick up anything. It's a trap.
It's an elaborate ruse.
They're like velociraptors out there, just like waiting. You'll bend down, you'll look up, there'll be somebody behind you who's like, clever girl.
Yeah.
I remember if this Summerfield was a I mean Summerfield is a big supermarket in the UK, kind of like, you know, a Publix or something over here, but I don't know if it was actually a Summerfield or if it was another store that they shot in, and they could only work with Summerfield to get the rights to like use their name and stuff.
But Summerfield's a real store?
Summerfield's a real store, yeah, definitely.
Okay. I always assumed they just changed. They just made some
something generic.
Story.
No, a good thing about that Edgar Wright stuff is he does try and keep it very grounded. So you see real stores. And
have you been to Senoia in Georgia?
No.
The town where they, like, the town, the governor, basically every season of Walking Dead, there's shots in and around Senoia. But that little town was also in Driving Miss Daisy. Well, you go, I went with my lady, and it was awesome. Literally just added a couple hours onto it. We were driving down from Indiana, and instead of hitting 95, we just drove the scenic route down through Georgia. And you go through Senoia, and all the stores rock The Walking Dead hard. And apparently the production was really cool about when that main street, right?
Sure. Woodbury?
Yeah, in Woodbury, the main street where they had like all the buses and shit lying in the front of it. When they shot that, all those stores, for the most part, were able to stay open. They literally only closed, but all those buildings on the other side of that main street, there's back streets. And so they would close the windows and dress the front, like, and close those doors, but all those businesses were able to stay open.
Because they just walk in the back doors. And
yeah, and so The Walking Dead has been really cool with that town about even when they shut shit down, you guys can still make money, and the cast totally spends money there as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's, like, Walking Dead souvenir stores on that street that every single cast member has signed, like, the wall, and it's super cool. But when you go into the coffee shop has a real name. However, that coffee shop was in the show.
Yeah.
And when you go into that coffee shop, the sign for the fake business name that The Walking Dead had is actually mounted on the wall inside of the coffee shop, because like they're named a different business, but fuck yeah, keep the sign.
Rep it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they have like zombie themed like drinks and shit. It's, bro, that town is rocking that hard, and why not? It makes a lot of money.
Totally.
They've got like cardboard cutouts of the characters like in the windows, and people are taking pictures with them. And
like, if I was on The Walking Dead, I would just go stand in a window looking like a cardboard cutout or a wax figure. Just see what happens for 20 minutes. Just do it.
Yeah.
I'm just remembering, actually, one of the more interesting facts, to me at least, about this scene is there's a scene in the making of where Edgar Wright is dressing the the scene, like bringing all the stuff to the front and everything, you know, to make it look like the shelves are more full, because he actually used to work in Sainsbury's, another supermarket, which mm-hmm. is also actually where I worked for like 5 years in the UK.
And you have to dress the shelves.
Yeah, it's like one of the main things, like all supermarkets are super hot on, because if you have shit all the way at the back of the shelves, it looks like the shelves are empty, but he dresses it to the front, makes it just look a little bit more appealing. So between shots, he's just fucking dressing the shelves. He's just like, this is what I used to do like 8 years ago before I was making shit. I was just working in a supermarket, like,
yeah,
you don't forget it, like, just dressing everything to the front.
One of my buddies just went by the Quick Stop from Clerks.
Oh yeah,
Jersey. Yeah, and he's like, bro, it's still
I mean, there's Clerks posters in the window now, but it's still just a little supermarket on the inside.
Yeah, it still looks basically the same.
Yeah. And
why fuck up a good thing, man? You know tourists are coming. Your shit is famous.
Absolutely. And the have you ever been to Jay and Silent Bob's Secret Stash in New Jersey?
No.
They have the, you know, that was in, I think it's Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. They
is that the comic book shop from that scene?
From the Brody's Secret Stash or whatever, you know?
There's
the fake sign that they put up the front. The fake sign is now inside the store for Brody's Secret Stash.
Exactly like the coffee shop. Exactly. That's cool.
Yeah.
Don't fuck up a good thing.
No. And hey, if you need to film in a comic book shop and you own a comic book shop, fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we even having this discussion?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, doing scenes like this is probably what really got Edgar Wright buzzing to make something like Baby Driver, which is all like car chases, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
The best description I heard about it that makes it kind of sound interesting is that it's like a musical
mm-hmm.
where the car chases are the songs.
Fair.
You know? Like, that's the real highlight, and that's where the character development really happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm totally digging to check it out. Like, Tara's watching the trailer and everything. She's like, that's a stupid fucking name. But still, the movie looks fantastic. And Edgar Wright has not really disappointed me yet, really.
But, I mean, really, and yes, it actually, I totally agree with her. I do think it's kind of a
weird
stupid name,
fucking name.
But
yeah.
There's a lot of really good movies with really shitty names.
Yeah, a character called Baby, who's like, it's a weird, like, thing. But it's just, okay, mm-hmm. get over that. Get on the train. And I think I'm going to have a good time on it. Oh, yeah.
What was... Did you see Layer Cake? With Daniel Craig? Did he even Did he even have a name in that? I don't think so.
I don't think so, no. I don't think it's mentioned.
Yeah. I don't give a shit about the main character's name as long as he's awesome.
Although on the soundtrack, I do think they harp on it. I do think there are three songs with the word baby in them. Or named, like, mm-hmm. baby.
So you said it.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, like fucking John Hamm, Kevin Spacey, Jamie Foxx. It sounds like it's going to be a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta give it the benefit of the doubt. Like the last movie he did was The World's End, and he did have some input in Anpan, which was really good. Like, you know, mm-hmm. he hasn't disappointed me yet. It's not like I've been burned by him before. I've never had a bad time watching his flicks. So.
Is that Aaron Aronson?
It's Aaron A. Aronson, yeah.
Fuck you! Okay, I really like the scene, but also, whenever I go to Epcot, I will sit there in Germany and look at their little train set for hours, if you let me. And now that I have a GoPro and a selfie stick, bro, get all up in it.
You could recreate scenes from Unstoppable, like over there. Make your own action runaway train movie and shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got a respectable little... train collection. I'm not even gonna lie, I get on YouTube and I watch like people's like miniature videos, like these like gigantic like model railroad organizations.
Uh-huh.
The dudes that are like artists and will make like complete like replica reproductions of like major cities for their train sets. They'll put these little GoPros in their trains and then just in real time like go around the whole setup. And yo, I will commit to the whole thing. I recently, like a week ago, watched a 4-hour model train trip from inside of the engine of the model train through a recreation of Warsaw. And it was awesome.
Jeez. A thought you said you were busy, man.
I mean, it was, but at night, all bets are off.
He's it undone hurts. By his own truck.
I like how he doesn't even act like he doesn't even really cover that kid's eyes.
Yeah, right.
He just kind of mushes his face.
Put it away, you silly bastard, I think is the word.
That reminds me, when I was a kid, I fell off one of those like three-tiered like spiral slides in a playground. I was pushed off because this one kid behind me was a cunt. And on the way down, I hit it. Like, I hit every layer on the way down. And when I hit the ground, my bottom teeth went through the skin underneath my bottom lip. So you could see my teeth on the outside of my mouth. And yeah, it was intense, man. I still got like a little...
That's what I call an underbite.
Yeah, like I have what looks to be not a dimple, but like a little line like underneath my lip. Like if it was like half an inch lower and vertical, it'd be a butt chin. And it's entirely because my teeth went through it.
Now, I know Steve-O from the Jackass things, whenever he kind of pierces his cheek with a fish hook or something, it's because he's had it pierced before,
mm-hmm.
and the skin is, like, much easier to just kind of push through. Mm-hmm. So could you, in theory, just, like, fucking do that?
Yes and no. Tyler, my business partner, does needles. He sticks needles through his cheeks and through his throat and through the... underneath his tongue and out from underneath his chin, much like that thing just went through Timothy Dalton's face.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time he has to re-pierce a brand new hole.
Mm.
Because his cheeks, he only does it for shows. He doesn't leave that shit in there. And if you do it and then take that shit out, it's going to start healing him. Every single show, he has to the next time you see him do it and you watch him pushing the needle through, watch how long it takes him to push and watch his face shake and his eyes water because it hurts. And then you see it poke, like tinting, and then it pokes through. Now that you know he is literally having to make a new hole every time, it's sickening.
Oh.
I can't watch it.
See, Steve-O makes it look easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
that's coke, I mean, for you.
That's also all. Yeah, that's all the drugs, and also Ringling Clown School. Ringling boys eat fire really dangerously as well.
Alright.
Like scary dangerous. I see Ringling when I was still going to Ringling shows. I saw Ringling boys on stilts doing blowouts and fire eating, and I swear to God, none of them have facial hair for a reason. It's, like, painful to watch. It's like, you know when you watch somebody get kicked in the nuts, how, like, involuntarily, like, you feel it?
Yeah.
Yeah, watching them eat fire, like, it made me uncomfortable. Ooh!
It's also kind of sexist to point at the woman while you're saying that. Like, it's her fault. Now we've got to learn a whole bunch of new verbiage. Oh, yeah, another scene they show on the DVD is Simon Pegg learning to do this whole trash can kick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually, for real, like, you watch Ripley do the...
the basketball?
Yeah, it's like it's a practical effect and everything that he does.
Uh-huh.
It's a shame, because it's edited, so, like, but he actually learns how to fucking do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. This also with the mime, every single one of them should be dead. Simon Pegg should be in pieces. Right?
Should be. It was designed to blow up what, a ship?
I mean, not even not even obliterate the ship, just cause a big hole enough so that it'll sink, you know? Like, he should be dead.
Instead, it just destroyed his sleeves.
Yeah.
It's a sleeve targeting mine.
You're going to turn him into fucking returning Robin Williams in Jumanji. Minus the bird. Did you watch the Jumanji trailer?
I did.
Did you think it was a piece of shit, too?
Not, like, I don't see all the fawning love for it that everyone else does.
Okay, I don't either. Looks bad.
Yeah.
I like The Rock. I like Kevin Hart. I like Jack Black. I like fucking Karen Gillian.
Mm.
Not a fan of all of that trailer.
I think it just looks like a bad script.
Yeah. However, I did just watch the Lady Ghostbusters recently, and I fully expected to hate it.
Mm.
Granted, I would have been happier if the original Ghostbusters weren't just cameos, but if there was like a, give me the first 5 minutes passing the torch.
Mm-hmm.
But really, it was a very enjoyable movie. I think all four of those girls did great.
I think they did great, but I think it's still a terrible movie, and it's absolutely not their fault. I just don't find it very funny.
I don't think it was as bad as
I don't hate it, but I do
made
not
it out that it was going to be.
I don't need to watch it again.
Absolutely. I after watching it, I'm like, okay, that was really fun. It did not deserve all the hate that it got.
Yeah.
It.
But if you ask me how many Ghostbusters films there are, I'll say two.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah. This. Yeah.
So many edits.
Well, that was nice. I finished my drink right as we finished the movie.
You finished your one drink, right?
Fuck you. One and a half. You were drinking beer, fool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was drinking Jim Beam.
All right.
Is it Beam or Bean? Beam. Yeah. With an M, like your mother.
All right now.
So, I interrupted my neighbors arguing with your mama jokes today, and then they all looked at me expectantly like I was supposed to continue, and I'm just like your mother's in. A whore, and walked in the apartment. That has nothing to do with anything. I just thought it was pertinent to the conversation.
Your mother was not worth what she charged.
Absolutely not.
Your mother still owes me my penny change from last time. Actually, tell her to put it towards the next time. I really liked that movie. It was good fun.
Good. Yeah, yeah. I really enjoyed it as well. I haven't watched it in a little bit. It was fun. I don't think it's my favorite of the three.
You still think you're going for Shaun of the Dead for that?
I still think I'm going for Shaun of the Dead. This is a very close second, and the third one is definitely trailing in third.
See, but I think it's between, for me, I think it's between the last two. I think Shaun of the Dead is fantastic, but that just, I mean, these two are still Elvis the Swan. Is called Elvis. I think Shaun of the Dead is fantastic, but I think, like we were saying earlier, I think he learned so much more after making his first big movie to be able to go and do, like, you know, it's a really tight story for this one.
But I know Shaun of the Dead wasn't cheap to make, but by any means, but in comparison, Shaun of the Dead for that trilogy feels like Desperado for Robert Rodriguez or Pulp Fiction for Tarantino.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like that is what introduced the rest of the world at large to Edgar Wright's like work and writing style. Mm-hmm. And I feel like maybe the nostalgia of it being like my introduction to like him and this whole crew of people might also be swaying my favoritism.
It does set the bar incredibly high. I will give it that. And especially, yeah.
It's really hard to keep getting better when when the first thing was Shaun of the Dead.
As far as
like the Cornetto trilogy goes, it's really hard to keep getting consistently more awesome. Like,
and here I'll post something to you here. Do you think you like? Can you relate to that more, just because it's like a zombie movie and you're more familiar with those or something? Because what I'm thinking, I'm realizing now, with the last two movies, is that you know, this one is about it's set in an English countryside, which is where mm-hmm. I grew up, and the last one is also set in a little village about a bunch of friends who want to kind of recapture the old days and go on a pub crawl, which I'm all about as well. The first one. I've never had like a flatmate or anything like that, so I have very little to relate to with that movie in relation to it.
I've known guys I've lived with guys that were exactly like Nick Frost in Shaun of the Dead.
Okay, so that might be where you're relating to it a little
bit. I was the guy in a on the couch. If Simon Pegg lived on Nick Frost's couch and played video games, but Nick Frost was way late, I was the dude on the couch for a dude that looked like Nick Frost's character, acted like Nick Frost's character, but was American.
Okay.
And, like, literally every bit of money was spent on marijuana and video games every day. That's what he did. And, bro, we had Rock Band the day Rock Band came out. We had a big-ass TV this size, like...
Because you're going to spend all your fucking time in the room, so you might as well pimp it out to be, like, the best it can.
Yeah, yeah. I went over to party with my homies for, like, an evening, and then 8 months later I moved out. because you get there and it's just a chronic party, and the moment you hit the real world you're like, this is horrible. We went on the ice cream diet for a month. I don't know about you, but the ice cream diet's a horrible idea. We would go and get multiple Ben and Jerry's pints, and then we would freeze them, lay them on their side without taking the lid off or the safety seal. We would then cut it in half, and now you have
little slices of
but in a bowl made of half of a Ben and Jerry's container. And for a month, all we did was eat those and party and drink booze. And about 3 weeks into pooping nothing but liquid and not really knowing where you are, it's a horrible idea.
Filmed in Wells, Somerset, which is Somerset's one of the most recent places I lived before I moved over here. So I feel like that's probably why I like this one a little bit more, not just because it's a really solid story, but also I can kind of relate to the locales of the last two movies a little bit better than the London one.
Fair.
But, I mean, like you say, there's really no wrong answer to what's your least favorite Edgar Wright movie. They're both, like, they're all
amazing.
Yeah, even his, Shaun of the Dead is my least favorite, but it's still a fantastic fucking movie.
Yeah, same with the third one. It is my least favorite out of the three, but it's better than a lot of other movies that I really enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us for our big gay date. We will see you next time. Until then, my name is Dave Mosley.
My name's Carl Skeens.
Have a great night, and we will see you for whatever Kevin Bacon movie we can work out to be.
Hell yeah.